With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
There he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Correct. Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 8:24 Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, Harvard by College and Magnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I am Drew at Center Crow 2 on Twitter, at Center Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett. Ryan Starrett, the S is for
Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams.
The end of the word?
Is that okay? Yeah, it is.
Okay.
To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. Let me put it this way. When it comes to envy, y'all is green. Jealous of the rhyme and the rhyme routine. Another dimension, new galaxy, intergalactic, AU chief.
What's popping?
Now, Ryan, I just didn't make that up. Those are lyrics from a song. Are you aware of the hip-hop group, the Beastie Boys, by any means?
Sure. So,
okay.
I played one of their songs, Guitar Hero, one time.
There it is.
I should have opened with, hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies. Yeah. I used to love the Beastie Boys. Intergalactic is one of my go-to karaoke jams. But I have to have another person who also knows,
I can
half the rule, half the words, yeah. But make that happen. This week on the show, we're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about basketball. Are we going to talk any football?
Why?
I don't know.
Who cares about football?
This whole thing where we can talk about basketball all the way up until the end of spring practice and be like, okay, yeah, these three things happened in spring. Baseball season. I like
sure.
that. That's fun.
All right. Cool.
I mean, nothing's happening.
We don't need to do an extra 2 months on football.
I don't know if we talked about Booby being gone.
We did. We bring it
did
up.
Did we? Do you want to do a few minutes on that?
Okay.
Do we have to? I mean,
did you guys know that Booby Whitlow left the team?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Breaking news.
He transferred or something.
No, well, he just put his name in the portal.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, he's technically not on any team.
Yes.
He's a free agent. It's going to be the end of
technically, he could still be here, but Gus already, thanked him for his service, basically.
Whoa, breaking news. ESPN is canceling the best show on their network.
What?
High Noon with Pablo and Bomani. What am I getting this network anymore for? Mm.
It's rough.
It was the only of the
couldn't have named a show on
the
ESPN.
Only show where two people talk about sports that was any good was that show, and it's gone. Anyway,
we ought to bring him on to College Mag.
We should. We should ask if Bomani Jones.
Yeah. And Pablo. We'll throw him a line.
All right. In soccer news,
yeah,
Auburn opened up its spring campaign.
How'd that go?
With a W over the Troy Trojans.
Got the dub.
2-0. Goals by Corey Locks and Sarah Houchin off a header.
Really busted those Trojans up, huh?
They absolutely did. And that was a home game.
Wow.
So Saturday, we had a home soccer match at 11:30 a.m. Which I believe was simultaneous.
30 minutes after the basketball tip.
The best time.
I bet there were five people there.
This is more of a, this isn't the real season.
Yeah, this is more like,
exhibition.
Again, they could have staggered that and everybody could have gone.
But there was also swimming and diving championships, SEC swimming
and
diving championships.
And baseball. Just played a goose head.
Well, you know, I'm not sure the baseball knew that there were baseball games this weekend. That was rough.
They're probably watching the basketball game in the dadgum locker room. Dugout, I believe it's called in baseball.
Locker room is inside dugout. It's by the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Clubhouse. In the clubhouse. There we go.
There it is. I know baseball terms.
It's probably in the facilities that Tim Hudson donated money for.
So that he could be an unpaid intern?
on the team.
He's like the fantasy baseball coach.
Yeah, I wonder how many times that's happened. A coach for a team donated over $1 million for facilities for that team.
Yeah, he's... this is an interesting question. Because he is now has relationships with these players.
Mm-hmm. Is he a booster?
Is he still also a booster because he donated money to... This is like the Penny Hardaway situation. He was a booster before he was the coach.
Yeah. You can still donate money to the athletic program as an employee.
Sure. Players.
But that's like Gus putting up his own money for a facility, right?
Yeah, but this is different. Because this is
not paying Tim Hudson.
Yeah. He's unpaid. So like a coach can take kids out to dinner at his house, but boosters cannot do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Could Tim Hudson take kids over to the Hudson residence? That's a great question.
Ranch?
You probably could, and you'd have to self-report.
Right. That's interesting.
He's got a Kiffin tactic?
Yeah, they don't do anything as long as you self-report.
Hey, man. I mean, I'm going to do this tonight.
Look, you know Pat Ford and Dan Wilkin will be all their feelings about it. They were in town
this week, apparently.
They didn't even say hey.
He was in town for the swimming thing because Pat Ford's son swims for Georgia.
What a loser.
Anyway, we're doing baseball first. Let's rip the Band-Aid off quick. Beat Oakland on Wednesday, 17-1.
Yeah, they got all their runs out on Wednesday
Then they put the bat somewhere else and played football national champion UCF and scored a grand total of six runs.
They scored a touchdown, missed the extra point.
Man alive. Half the guys over there, they were holding their bats upside down. That's how bad it was.
Bats are not there. Pitching was not really there either.
I watched two of these games, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. On the TV, folding laundry.
I watched two innings on Saturday.
It looked cold.
Waiting for the parking lot to clear out?
No, I had to get home because take care of the kids. Ostensibly, yes.
So Tanner Burns and Jack Owen, they pitched fine. Tanner went in that game. They lost Friday night 3-1. They weren't outstanding by any means, but then the bullpen gave them no help, and the offense gave them no help.
Yeah.
And UCF's a good team. They're not just a throwaway, bring them in to beat them kind of team.
Right.
It'll happen. Baseball's a long season. You're going to lose games.
Well, hopefully this is a kind of sort of a wake-up call, too.
Yeah.
Came in.
You can't just cakewalk back to Omaha.
Yeah. Came in with pretty big expectations. So typical Auburn fashion. We have to crash those down.
Just got
to
break that down early.
Yeah.
And then spend the whole season climbing back up.
And then luckily with baseball.
And then break our hearts at the very end.
There's a tournament involved, so it doesn't really matter how bad you were as long as you make that tournament.
There you go.
Speaking of other teams, anyway, coming up, baseball plays Alabama A&M. That should be a couple wins.
Oh, a dub.
Yeah, good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh.
Hopefully the rain's going away by now.
Right, it's never going to be sunny here again.
I did not realize I'd moved to Seattle.
Washington. Right. This weekend, we play Wright State, who, where are they?
I think they're in Detroit.
Is that
I think that's where my cousin went.
No clue, bro. Yeah, I have no idea.
Does Crow know where?
No, I don't. Murray State.
We should probably really just have Drew either come on or pre-record some baseball.
We should literally have a 1 minute Drew McCracken.
Wright State is in Dayton, Ohio.
There it is. It's close to Detroit, I guess.
Rust Belt territory.
Yeah. They both start with D.
D in Detroit. It's a great song.
Michigan, Ohio. It's
so cold
thing.
In the D.
It's the anniversary. Great man. Anyway.
Let's move on to basketball.
Yeah, let's do that. I think we're
all
better equipped to talk about basketball. Basketball giveth and it taketh away this week.
Basketball had two games in which one player scored over 20 for Auburn.
And nobody else broke double digits.
And in both of those games, the rest of the team didn't score double digits. However, it they both went, the two games went wildly different.
Yes.
In one, nobody scored, period, except for...
In both games, we were down by nearly 20 points
right.
at one point or another.
I don't think...
That's been kind of a theme for the last month now.
Yeah. That UGA game may have been one of the worst basketball games in Bruce Pearl's career at Auburn.
It was
wasn't quite as bad as the Florida game, but it was damn close.
It was that thing, there was nothing going on offense.
No, yeah. We had nothing.
So you had Javon score 22 points, and what's my criticism on Kira Lewis and
he's Anthony inefficient?
Edwards? Yeah. Javon McCormick had 22 points on 22 shots.
So you're saying he's bearing better than Kira Lewis?
They're both the same kind of player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he also had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
That was tough on that game. We turned the ball over, what was it, 21 times in that game? Is that right?
I don't think it was quite that many.
It was
it was close.
Lot.
It was
it's kind of too many like times. The losses for Auburn in basketball this year kind of all have a formula.
Mm-hmm.
Their shooting goes cold from 3. Turn the ball over too many times. And the other team has a player that Auburn loses on defense 1 too many times.
Yeah.
In this case, it was like 20 too many times. Anthony Edwards was a first-round draft pick in this game.
Hammonds like he is. Also tore us up.
It's funny, though.
Per friggin' usual.
Edwards had the exact same number of points as he did last time we played him.
Yeah, but
and we shut him down last time
we played him. Because last time it was garbage time.
We were up by 20, and he scored.
Yeah, he scored 18 in both games, though.
Yeah.
And it really
the box score does not tell the truth. You gotta watch the
tape. Giving up 65 points to Georgia is fine. You can't score 55.
You can't score 55 in regulation college basketball.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Nobody wants to watch that.
No, that's Jeff Lebo era basketball.
Oh, good night. Flashbacks.
Well, going between that and the Mizzou game, they were 5 of 43 from 3.
Can't make shots if you don't shoot them.
Is that like 11%?
5 of 43.
From a team that set the second most point or 3 points made in college basketball history last year.
Conference record in 3 points made in the season. Last year. This year. Not going to sniff that record.
No.
We might be in last by the end of the year.
Yeah. Ugh. But it's because there's a couple of guys on the team that are extremely streaky.
Yes.
In good ways and bad.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of guys on the team. There's they one guy
just
on
shooting,
the team.
Be shooting
there's
threes.
One guy on the team, Austin Wiley, who's going to give you the same stat line no matter what. Like he
broke his streak of double-doubles in this past game
that
he played.
Yeah,
Georgia
game. It's because he didn't play quite as much because we figured something out on defense.
Well, that's what happens when Auburn can't make any jump shots outside the paint, though.
Right.
We'll just put 3 guys on Wiley and...
Yeah.
If they call the fouls, they call the fouls. If they don't, it's a turnover.
Tennessee was triple teaming Austin with the ball.
It was crazy.
But yeah, it was. Wiley is kind of like Mustafa Heron in that. Okay, we know we're getting.
Yeah.
What else can we get?
Okay, what else can we get? Like, you don't have to even worry about him. He is like the postal service. But then you've got some guys like Samir, who for the most part has been consistent. And then this week kind of showed you both ends of the Samir. Dowdy experience.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, again, even in this Georgia game, I think he scored 15 points on 17 shots.
Yeah.
A ton of it's from the line. We didn't shoot a lot of free throws at Georgia, I don't think.
He did.
He did?
Yeah.
Pull it up. Check my box score.
We didn't shoot a ton against Tennessee. I don't know if you noticed that. We may have towards the end, but it's at one point I looked up and I'm like, God, we've only shot like 15 free throws. This is... pretty wild.
Not a shock.
We still shot more than they did.
Yeah.
UGA.
I think part of it is when the full brunt of the offensive load is on Samir, it's tough.
And I can imagine that being tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Samir in the Georgia game was 5 of 17 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. And Javon was 9 of 22. So your two guards. 14 for 39.
Yeah.
Nobody else had more than 7 shots.
Mm. It's really hard for Samir to score at the bucket when there's 4 guys in the lane.
So. Right. Right.
That's really tough. So us not hitting threes is really affecting everything, as well as not having one key piece out there to keep all these defenses honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to move on to the game that had a better outcome.
Well, I think the Georgia game informs a lot of the Tennessee game.
Sure.
For me, at least. You don't get the Tennessee win without some of the stuff that you had to fix.
Yeah, we had. It wasn't until after halftime and like 5 minutes into the second half of the Tennessee game that we finally seemed to figure out how to defend without Isaac Okoro.
Yep. And I think what they figured out was we're not going to match up with these guys.
Yeah.
Just try and get steals.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing as being...
Well, we just put a lot of pressure on the dudes, and they made all the mistakes.
We're good at that. We're an athletic team.
Yeah.
And it's the same as being an undersized defensive back. You know, if you're not going to beat a guy one-on-one, at least try and cheat and make something else happen.
And oddly, with as many fouls as this officiating crew called...
In this Tennessee game, they didn't call that many fouls. It was...
Well,
they called them in bunches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got out into the bonus and the double bonus. Well, the bonus in the first half pretty quick. And then, but they weren't, they were letting a lot of stuff go, which is fine.
Like 3-point shooters getting failed.
Samir got absolutely tackled on a 3-point shot. And they did not, the ref standing right in front of it, Samir goes like to the ground hard. And no, nothing. And then, literally 5 seconds later, on the other end, Dangelo breathes on a guy going for a layup, and they call a foul on Dangelo. We could go on.
The first half was essentially
NCAA officials.
The first half was as bad as the last two games before it.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just a continuation of the same trends.
Yeah. But then we discovered someone named Jalen Williams.
Well, in that game, I think the Georgia game is when he was discovered.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, oh, Bruce just threw him into the game against Tennessee. No, I think he kind of acquitted himself well.
He looked nervous when he got in there at first against Georgia. Yeah. But
he was playing good defense in that game.
He
picked up some rebounds. He had a couple steals.
He was kind of a non-factor on offense.
Yeah, he just took the one shot.
But... then we saw him grow into the game at Tennessee, and that's going to happen when you get, 17 minutes that he played in the game or something? And really changed the game. Him and, oddly enough, we've been very critical of our bench on this very podcast.
Man, not anymore.
But two guys, Devin Cambridge and Jalen Williams. Hey.
One of us has been very critical of Devin Cambridge.
Well, we've just been critical of the bench in general, right? I mean,
yeah, the bench has not been consistent. And
Devin has had two good games.
Talk about streaky. Devin has either been the best player on the court or a non-factor.
Right.
Or getting ejected.
But Devin has not been consistent. However, and I said this in our chat, he has the highest ceiling on the team of anybody not named Isaac Okoro. Devin's good is...
He's really good.
Really good.
Sure.
Defensively against Tennessee, he was all over the court. And then when he's on offense, how do you guard a 6'9 guy who shoots like that from way over his head? His release is so far above his head.
Did you call him 6'9?
Is he 6'9?
No, he's like 6'5.
Devin Cambridge?
He's a guard.
I know he plays guard. Tall, skinny dude, though.
He's not taller than Mac.
The one thing that I'll...
6'6".
I think he'll have to learn, especially on defense, is he does tend to run himself out of position sometimes trying to make a play.
And when he does shoot, he does hold the ball, releases from a very high spot.
Yeah.
It's a very unblockable shot.
Sure.
And his threes are... when they go in, very pretty shots, and
going in
in bunches.
He also hit the side of the backboard from the corner in this game.
Yeah.
But
his
misses are misses.
His misses are almost all real bad. He's not Dangelo where it goes in and out all the time. It is.
Yeah, I don't know if he's lipped out a single one this year.
But he's not playing because his floor is high.
Right.
Sure.
There are a lot of guys on Auburn's team who have a high floor. I think Dangelo has a pretty high floor. I think he's fairly consistently what he is. I think Devin,
which is not much, like
not me, but it's divisional basketball. But he's not actively killing the team.
No, right. And he's Devin, still contributing on defense.
Yeah, sure. Devin's floor is sometimes actively
again steals or rebounds at least.
Devin's floor is low,
right?
Yeah,
but his ceiling is supernova.
So I think that kind of lends to the conversation we had earlier today of, you know, the core coming back, and not necessarily worried about when he's returning from injury, but when he is fully back, what does the rotation look like? Because this team has been, you know, 8 or 9 guys all season, and now suddenly you play 9 in the last game, minus Okoro. Okoro's going to get his 30 minutes when he gets back. So where do those minutes come from?
Right.
And I think we kind of threw around some ideas of, well, it's probably the end of Anfernee playing the 4.
Hopefully.
Because now you have D'Angelo and Jalen and Flan to be playing the 4.
Hopefully.
Right. And I think you might see more of Devin playing 2.
Yeah, and I would
because
like
he's,
to see
he's only
that.
Shooting 3s right now. That's the thing. Except for transition.
Sure. I he is athletic enough to guard a speedy, faster 2, I think, but
he's going to do a better job than Jamal Johnson is, yes. Put that way.
Yeah, I think so. sure. That's a low bar.
I mean, right now, you really don't need much from a backup guard because Javon and Samir are both playing 35 minutes a game, roughly.
Right.
So you're only needing somebody to cover about 10 minutes there. Samir's playing the backup point. Cambridge just looked really good playing 20.
Has he been playing the 2 when
he has a little bit? Mainly that's been Jamal's. Oh, yeah, like, yeah. Just so Jamal, the last couple of games, has been playing 7 to 10 minutes. Yeah, Cambridge has been playing starter minutes. He had 25 in both the last 2 games, I think.
I'm not sure we trust, which we don't ask our 2 to handle the ball a lot, unless it's Samir.
But then when he is, it's the 1.
But we're not asking Jamal to handle the ball.
No, not at all.
Because I don't know that we would trust Devin to.
Jamal's a big dude. I mean, people have been calling him a guard as well.
Jamal?
Not Jamal, sorry. Jalen.
Jalen's a huge dude. No, he's a big dude.
Well, someone on one of the beat writers talking about how he can play kind of a wing off guard, like a 3. And I'm like, man, that dude is.
He's a beefy three
at Kentucky, maybe.
Yeah. I liked his game. And I think, and here's the thing about Jamal. Jamal has missed a lot of 3s recently, but
he hasn't been taking many.
And he, earlier in the year when he was making them when he was wide open.
Right.
It's only going to help him to get a better inside presence like Jalen in the game.
And bringing Okoro back, too. I mean,
I think
Okoro being back will help everyone.
Oh, it's everything's
going to
be fine.
According to Devin Cambridge's Instagram story, it's going to be over at that point.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said that Isaac Okoro is going for Coach of the Year in the SEC right now.
Coach of the Year?
Yeah, because he's on the sideline coaching.
Oh, right. Okay.
But when he comes back, it's going to be over. Shout out to Devin Cambridge's Instagram story. It's always, right after the game, he is always talking to
him. Him and Dejo.
Yeah.
So he's going to be taking over from Dan.
Yeah. Well, except his is just talking noise in the locker room with his teammates.
Okay. I think if we had our choice, Isaac will not play this tomorrow or tonight as you listen to this.
I really think he might get a little bit of run.
Probably going to get maybe like 5 to 10 minutes, some rehab minutes, just to give him a run out.
Yeah. I don't know if you want him finding his legs again. On the road at Kentucky.
Sure. I'm almost starting. I think I would start him tonight. And give him the first 5 minutes of the game.
Start him and only play him 15.
I think we just want to let him get as healed up as he can.
But I think you see how he looks. I don't want to put him, because when do you put him in? If you don't start him. Do you put him over down 15? Do you put him in up 15? Do you put him in?
You just put him in.
You know, like he's just part of the rotation.
Just part of him, work him in the rotation.
It's weird. It's weird to think that,
it's for a Burgermeister to find that his name? Burgermeister.
Burgermeister. Burgermeister. Meister Burger was the mayor on Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The claymation animated.
I think he's the sub guy. I can't remember. Maybe it's Pruitt. I can't remember which one of them is the sub guy.
I think it's Burgermeister.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Alan Flanagan saying, nah, leave Devin in there.
Yeah. Flan is an interesting player.
To say the least. Hey, he's the most efficient player we had this week.
Yeah, because he had 2.5 points per shot.
What was his offensive rating?
250.
Well, see, but offensive rating is more than just shots. So that means he also was not turning the ball over.
Sure.
He was.
He didn't play.
He only played 18 minutes.
Yeah.
He had 18 minutes.
It's not nothing.
It's a run. And he had no turnovers and he had no.
No missed shots.
I don't think he had any offensive fouls. And he would have been. Which is turnover. And then he wouldn't. It means he didn't miss any shots. And I think he must have had some offensive rebounds. Because to get that high of a.
Yeah, I think he only had one offensive rebound, no defensive.
Yeah. To get that high of an O rating, it's got to be something else. Like there's. Just 2 for 2 with 5 points. You're 220 offensive. He also probably plus. He may have come in during the run, and then that may have been some of his minutes.
Yeah.
Speaking of plus minus, though, it was listening to the lunch break today. They said Anthony was plus 20 in this game.
I bet.
And it's
because the run
he didn't score.
The run kind of coincided with him.
Right.
Coming in the game.
Not to talk out of school, but our Slack, we were all pretty like, oh my God, this is Anthony's just not good in this game.
He was having a terrible game.
And then he was probably the key to victory in this game.
Which is good because he has kind of been
the marker of
success.
Whichever
the
assistant
in
coach,
the coal mine.
Whichever assistant coach at halftime said, or maybe not even halftime, 5 minutes into the second half, was like, okay, what we have to do is we have to put Anthony in and just tell him to just go crazy on 10.
Yeah.
What was his name? Faulkner?
That's right.
Somewhere in there.
Faulkerson, I think.
Fulkerson.
Yeah, it was
Fulkerson. Meet the Fulkersons.
Yeah. because that's what he did. He just went in there and they're like, just give it to him. And that dude got so frustrated with Anthony.
Yeah.
And that's the Anthony that I remember.
Birmingham looking number 10.
That's the Anthony that I think we all remember from 17, 18.
Well, and having Jalen Williams in there helped with that too. Yeah, I think it was just another big body that could play the four. You weren't worried about being undersized there. So Anthony was just being a center.
But, I
didn't have to.
I had a great vantage point to watch Anthony defend, specifically 10, because I sit on that end right behind the band, and Anthony was just killing the dude, and the dude was just like it got all in his head. Like the dude was so frustrated, and Anthony wasn't fouling him per se. He was just all over him, and didn't allow him to do anything. Didn't allow him an inch of space. And I'm pretty sure that's what he was told. He's like, don't give him any space.
Yeah.
Do not give him an inch. And he didn't. And for whatever reason, because Tim was not scoring a ton. Although he was their leading scorer.
No, so he was their most efficient guy. Okay. He was kind of underutilized. I think he only had like 18% usage. But so good shooter.
Like taking that guy out of the game, but I guess put everything on what's his face? Bowden.
Who had 28 points and I think had a 10-minute scoring drought.
Yeah. Well, their team went on a 10-minute scoring drought.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure that I've ever.
I don't even remember that being an 18-0 run, though. That was
I do. I was counting
in the arena.
I was counting. I didn't.
I just
kind of
looked up
it.
And I was like, oh, man.
I remember it being an 18-0 run, but I don't remember. I think what made me realize it, well, I'm watching TV and they're telling us.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But also, it's more of the. Well, they haven't scored in forever.
Yeah.
Like it was more of like.
And that's what I didn't realize. I thought it might have been like an
18-0 run. The reason I noted it is because when we got down 15. And we kept getting the ball, and we couldn't score. We would just turn it over or take a shot and miss, and it kept getting back down. And I'm like, God, we're just not. I don't think we're ever going to get this back above 15. And then it got to 17, and I was like, great.
Yep.
And then I kept thinking, oh man, it's an 8-0 run. Oh, we're good. 12 nothing run here. And then it, I was like, oh.
Devin did a couple threes.
Yep.
Samir started making shots at the basket.
Yep.
Samir went off. Like, Samir at halftime did not have a lot of points.
No. They were all.
I think they were only on free throws in the first half, weren't they?
He had two layups. So okay. I think he had 8 points Four from the line, four
so he had
from layup.
14 in the second half?
Yes.
Yeah.
And hadn't had, I mean, he had had a game similar to what he'd been having in some of these losses.
Right.
And he stepped it up in the second half.
Well, every so often, Samir will do a lot of ISO. Second half, I remember sitting here by myself watching the game and thinking, wow, we are playing some major 2000s basketball, early 2000s.
Yeah.
This is one-on-one games that are happening.
Yeah.
And it was working. Like, it'd be, all right, Javon gets the ball, and now Javon's taking him one-on-one.
See, right,
Jaylen Javon had great assists in the second
so, half. So, Javon had, if he had finished some of his layups, some of his moves get to these up-and-under layups that he missed, some of those are just highlight reel moves.
Yeah.
You know, we would say million-dollar move, $1 finish. But he finishes those. They're not easy finishes by any means.
Sure.
If he finishes those Kyrie Irving style off the top of the backboard, we're talking about this is one of the greatest performances in Auburn point guard history because he got to the basket at will in the second half. Just couldn't finish a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then Jaylen Williams bouncing it off the backboard.
Oh, dude.
You imagine the cojones
did that make
on a true freshman. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
On a true freshman.
In his second game.
In his second game, down 8.
Let me tell you what my reaction to when this happened. I see him drive, and I'm like, I see him go up, and I'm like, "Oh, Jaylen, no!" And then I said, "Oh my!" And then I just freaked out.
Yeah,
because I was like, "Oh God, he's catching it!" Oh God,
because it's not like he had room to do it.
No.
That was in traffic.
He was completely in traffic. He was,
and it was on purpose.
Yeah, like, it was totally on purpose.
Like, no, there's no doubt about that.
He knew that he couldn't dribble.
No,
he dribbled off the backboard.
So he was like, look, I'm going to do this.
Just throw it up. And they all turned around because they were like, oh, what a terrible shot.
It's the exact same. The first time I'd ever seen anybody do that before was Tracy McGrady in the All-Star game. I'm like, 01 or whatever it was.
The audacity.
And it was the same situation where he couldn't dribble again.
And we were not
so
up.
I'm just going to use
like,
it off
we were
the
down.
And it isn't the All-Star game.
It's
a conference game.
It's one of those things that if it doesn't work, might get him benched.
Oh, he's not playing again. Well, we need that. It's just like, I talk about this a lot, maybe on this podcast.
I mean, I got the crowd way in.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, I think everybody knew,
I almost think he'd, like, he had been told, hey, we know you can do this. Do it.
Go ahead and play.
Because the coaches know that we need the crowd.
Yeah.
And like the oops and stuff.
Yeah.
Bruce has told them to do that kind of stuff.
They refuse to get oops in transition. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Javon or Samir, like,
they refuse to pass in transition.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, and like even Anthony set one up perfectly.
Yeah.
He had it coming across half court. I think he gave it to Samir, and then Samir just kept it.
Underrated in for this game. Samir 3-1 to Anthony from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
There was.
We do more in half court than we do in transition, though.
Yeah. Oh, we never do it in transition anymore.
Bruce Arena. We did it all the time last year.
Well, Bruce Arena. I talk about this a lot on the Slack, I think. Bruce Arena, Ryan, used to coach the Team USA men's national.
Oh, I thought you were changing the name of Auburn Arena.
No. Well, should be.
We should.
Bruce Arena.
I thought it was Arenas.
Also coached lacrosse.
It's the
SI. No, it's Bruce Arena.
Anyways.
I'm looking this up now, but I feel like...
You tell the story.
It's not Gilbert Arenas.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Bruce Arenas.
Is he the guy with the guns in the locker room?
Yes.
He is. He also played for my beloved Arizona.
He would have loved this early 2000s look at Auburn faculty. Bruce Arenas once said about Clint Dempsey, the thing that made him special was that he'd try stuff.
Yeah. Well...
Stuff being an exploit, a placeholder word. And how few soccer players could come from the United States try stuff.
Try stuff.
Because they're coached to do the right pass, make the right shot. Don't take it if it's not open. And Clint was like, screw it. I'm shooting it from 90 feet out of here. Let's make this thing happen.
So let's get the crowd involved. Is the analogy.
Yeah, so like, you got to have guys that can do that to go on 18-0 runs. You don't go on 18-0 runs by taking the safe shot.
It's funny though, just based on his demeanor alone, like from
he
afar,
seems like a really quiet guy.
You would never expect that to be him to be the guy that tried. You would expect Devin Cambridge to try.
Who's not quiet on Twitter is his mother, though. She is all about sporting her boy.
I need
of course.
She's a great follow. Yeah.
I love players' moms. They're the best.
I've really enjoyed it this year. She's the second family member. You know, Michael Okoro, if you follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Isaac's older brother, Georgia grad.
Mm.
And he's been a big Auburn fan this year.
Mm-hmm. So he wasn't the kid that we got from Arkansas, is he?
No, that's Flanagan. And Javon Franklin.
Yeah, Jalen Williams is from Georgia. That's
Georgia.
Right.
He scored 25 points a game. Was at
All-State two years in a row.
As a junior and a senior. Yeah. So he's...
And we've been asking all season, why... Where is he?
I think it's the nervousness that they saw in him.
It happens.
And I think Bruce has mentioned that he missed... He's gotten out rebounded on free throws on free throws in practice, and I think that has something to do with it.
Like, we got out free throw. I rebounded free throws in this game. It was disappointing.
Yeah,
we got out rebounded on the defensive end. Yeah. Full stop. Like had 15 to our 14.
If you look at the box score of this game,
we should not
other than the score. It's like, how did we win this game?
No, yeah, it's a very Auburn
just turnovers. It's turnovers. So I had never seen this before. That. Tennessee had more points per shot than Auburn did, but fewer points per possession. I've never seen that discrepancy, and that's because they had so many no-shot possessions.
Yeah.
Tennessee, they had the possessions, they just turned over and never got a shot up.
10 seconds. How about that, guys?
Yeah.
We got a 10-second call on them, and they were really confused about it.
Yeah.
That was kind of the beginning. Like, that was kind of the... Well,
that and the 5-second call coming out of the half was huge, too.
Yeah.
Even though those first couple minutes we didn't really make a comeback,
eight more points out on us there.
But that 5-second call did signify, okay, these guys, they're all ready to play now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Bruce peeled the paint off the walls at halftime.
Challenge their manhood, I think, is what Samir said.
That's what he said too after the game. Challenge their manhood. He said things that
he had to kick the AD and the president out.
Yeah, he said the president finally got fired me.
Bruce, you know, leave one of them. But.
Yeah, let's not. It's like get fired, Bruce. We can afford to lose this game more than we can afford to lose Bruce.
You know he loves beating Tennessee, though.
100% he does.
Did you see him dance after the game?
Yes. Yeah, he danced after the game like we won the SEC championship.
But then in the post game, he talked about how much he loved everybody at Tennessee.
I think he does have a lot of good relationship with Tennessee. Because Tennessee didn't really. They didn't fire
him.
They didn't
have a choice.
They really didn't want to.
Right.
The NCAA said he can't coach for 2 years.
Yeah.
So
you're not just gonna have him entertainer for 2 years.
Yeah. You just make him an off the court position. He's the director of basketball operations.
He's got a whole big game Rick over there.
Man, Rick Barnes is trash. at coaching big games.
Oh man, he is not good at those. He got teed up early on.
Well, he was bummed. He was really upset about something the referees were doing. And the refs weren't awesome in this game.
No, not at all.
They were for an SEC game.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Like, it was. They were worse in the first half than they were in the second half. I'll say that.
Coincidentally, we played better in the second half.
There was just, when that happens, a lot of times it's the trailing ref in the first half that was the good one.
Yeah. Right. I think he cursed at them. That's why he got his technical.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Mark, you've been talking about this in the NBA, but a lot of college basketball coaches are talking about this too. And did you see the G League guy went off on referee?
No.
Legitimately called them cheaters after the game.
Cheaters, unprofessional, and like basically all the elders are to be fired.
The player or a coach?
This is a G League coach.
This is a coach.
Oh.
Post game. He literally said, I want you to be rolling on this, put it on Twitter. I want everybody to know what I think.
He might get fired.
Like, use names.
Yeah, use names of the officials.
Think Mark Cuban will pay that guy's fine.
Mark Cuban might hire him as assistant coach. No, it was like, I think a lot of people across basketball are upset with the way officiating is going.
Well, just sometimes makes the games unwatchable.
And part of it, yes, part of it is some of the rules need to be reinterpreted, period.
Sure.
For like the traveling rule in the NBA, the gather step has made it to where everyone in the world thinks that people are traveling, but by the letter of the law, they're not. And so the officials all look like they're terrible to the average fan. Like, oh, guys in the NBA are just traveling left and right. They're actually not. The referees have just been told to interpret the gather step in a way that makes you can basically take as many steps as you want as long as it looks like you haven't controlled the ball off your dribble yet. So guys are able to push that rule. Guys like James Harden meet with the officials in the summer to ask about interpretations of rules so that he can go and push the envelope.
Speaking
further.
Of, in our game against Tennessee, there were two obvious double dribbles
sure.
that they did not call. There's stuff like that. Like,
well, and, it, and there was one on us. I think Samir had one where he literally slid a solid 2 feet.
Well, so
after taking two steps,
well, there was one where he tapped the ball up in the air, caught it, and then dribbled it. After taking a step, and I was like, okay. But the one especially
was kickball. It's Virginia. Got kicked the ball and then dribbled it again.
Yeah. Jeez.
It was the same thing. And I was like, those calls, we talked about this in the Slack, but those calls could be solved by a video official.
Right.
But then again, how willing are you to allow the game to stop?
It's also more? Just, it's just another dude, too. Yeah. Like, it's not, like that's always going to be the problem.
The video official is just a person watching the screen.
It's just another, it's just another guy that can screw up.
Just make it street ball. Call your own fouls.
Yeah, why not?
Well, the problem with basketball, too, as opposed to football.
Give them 8 fouls and let everybody call their own fouls.
In basketball, like...
Samir would have everyone foul, though.
Yeah. In basketball, it really, like, the flow of the game, you can kind of tell within the first 5 minutes of the game, well, they're not going to call anything tonight.
Yeah.
Or, okay...
I can't breathe on a guy.
Or maybe they're super tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you're like, all right. But the good thing is, when you start out super tight, you want the referees... In the first 5 minutes, to call everything.
I think,
and then relax as the game goes on, so that then guys aren't getting in fights. Yeah. When it goes the other way, is when you start seeing the game get really chippy.
Yeah. Well, I think in this game, too, we saw it be very inconsistent early on in the game, and then sort of kind of plateau out for the second half, where they were calling things pretty evenly on both ends.
It was a wild game. I mean, a fan get thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
For the second time in like this 3 home America. Games.
For big games, man. People getting too jazzed up.
People get really into their, I don't know, political opinions and start yelling out.
Just
I don't think we know. We do know, actually, because he's on Twitter.
Well, I've tried to look. It was private. But anyway.
I'm sure it is now.
I have on good authority we do know that news. Okay. And you know what? They're exactly what you think they are. He, apparently an Auburn student... decided to tell a guy from the wonderful land of Uruguay to go back there.
Well, this is America, which is, he's also from America. But
yeah.
Is the guy from America?
Well, he's from South America. It's America.
I got you.
South Americans are very into that. By
are they?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they're very into calling themselves Americans as well.
Interesting.
Especially Latin America. Guatemalans, for sure.
Canadians aren't into that.
No, not at all.
They don't want to be associated with us.
Exactly. It's a whole different... They're tired of study abroad kids putting Canadian flags on their backpacks. They're tended to be Canadians. That's a real thing that happens. This guy yelled, "This is America. Go back to Uruguay." As if that guy could just... Okay. I thought Tennessee was paying me to go to college.
As if, you
know?
Like...
I assume that kid would have been, like, very confused by all of this.
He's the first time he's ever heard anybody anti-Uruguay in his life.
I was just about to say, he's saying that, like, you know, probably a quarter of the arena would be like... is
anti-Tennessee, and he just said some stupid stuff that...
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people in the arena would have taken him up on that if he was offering those.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Uruguay.
It's a nice place.
Yeah, 100%
in.
That sounds like fun.
Argentina's?
The food is good.
Brazil's around there?
The soccer is great.
Watch out for... Luis Suarez.
He might the same thing.
But
for Luis Suarez. Big teeth. He knows how to use
maybe it. That's why this guy decided to come to America.
Didn't say anything to the Frenchman in the game.
Exactly. Why did he pick out the Uruguayan?
Yeah, that's what I can figure out. Or there's a Frenchman. Serbian guy.
Yeah, Espons.
And they had a 7-foot-tall Serbian dude.
Yeah, I was wondering about the Serbian guy.
They didn't yell.
I wonder if people would have been mad if he yelled that at the
Serbian. Go back to France.
Go back to Serbia?
He probably wouldn't have known the dude's from Serbia. He probably would have like, go back to Russia.
I don't know. Knowing this guy was from Uruguay took some research,
he had to know. Or was on the street.
Oh, I think he was a starter and probably announced it for you, too.
I don't ever hear him announce the other teams anymore.
Mm. Anyway, don't yell stupid things like that. It's xenophobic, and xenophobia is no place.
Not good.
In contemporary society. This is not 1917.
Movie?
No.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. The year. People were very xenophobic. I don't know if you've watched a program called The News. People were very xenophobic in the early 20th century.
Yeah, let's...
In the early 21st century.
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
Let's not... You can tell them to go back to Knoxville. That's fine.
Sure. Go back to Knoxville. Yell that at their official. That's a classic official.
Yes, it is.
Jeer. Also, I did hear a...
an audible get off your knees ref.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens. That's actually my buddy Jeremy's favorite.
Oh, he yells it?
Yeah. Loves to yell that.
That's a classic.
Get off your knees, ref.
Yeah. I mean, we all know what you mean.
Oh, he
continues to
tell. Yeah, he lets them.
Yeah.
Just in case they don't get it. Because, you know, refs are.
I'm assuming it's because, like, he probably lost his contact. He can't see the foul call as well. Is that what he's going for?
Sure.
That's okay. What he means. Get off your knees because you keep looking for your lost contact lenses. Sure.
Yeah. Just watch the game.
The best one I ever saw was an old man at a game who had figured out the officials' names from looking at the program.
Sure.
And was holding up his eyeglasses. Mark, you need to borrow these?
I love to learn. That's the best thing to do. Learn people's first names out there.
Mark.
And just yell them at them.
I got a pair of these. I hope you're my same prescription. This old man is the greatest.
It's the only thing you lose about having a good home environment, though, is... You can't have, like, individual hecklers when everyone's loud.
Why I heard this dude is
he was right behind him.
You could hear him clear as day.
Tell you what.
It was like Sonny Smith was yelling.
Oh, I bet you the people in the court didn't hear him.
No, that's
the
probably thing. Not.
But it picked up on TV. So.
And radio.
And radio.
Oh, I didn't know it was on radio. Yeah, you could. I've heard the clip. It was as if he grabbed the mic.
Yeah. Get out of here, Andy Kennedy. I got something I got to get off my chest.
Andy Kennedy was probably all about it.
The country that
this is a CBS hosted, game.
The country that hosted the first World Cup is not a welcome here.
They did host the first World Cup.
I got a few, right?
Yeah.
You also like won a cup. It's weird. Like the smallest country to ever, I think, win a World Cup.
Probably.
They hosted the whole World Cup in one town in Montevideo.
This is a your Uruguay cultural lesson, everybody.
I almost lived in Uruguay.
Did you?
This is when before I moved to Germany, the job that I applied for initially was either going to be in Santiago, Chile, or Uruguay. Both of those fell through, and I ended up going to Germany. So I did a lot of Uruguay research.
Both of those seem nicer climate-wise than Germany.
Well, less rain, at least. Warmer.
Not to insult my German.
Santiago
is nicer-looking people.
Santiago is incredible climate-wise, like Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You only get to move to Germany for the weather.
No, nobody does, unless you're from Iceland.
What's the opposite of xenophobic?
Whatever Belgium is. They're like the least xenophobic.
I thought you were just Belgian.
Belgium, they don't care.
You're either xenophobic or you're Belgian. That's the spectrum. Yeah.
Okay.
They're like, whatever. They're the least nationalistic country in the world.
Eight national...
They didn't have a centralized government
because they're not real.
20 years ago.
Yeah, they're not real.
They're just a...
But they have a lot of... They have
just a collection of forts between...
Issues between each other, correct?
Exactly.
The Flemish and
there's ethnic issues, but not national issues. Okay.
Great. You could say mean things. Let's not go too low.
Don't go with ethnicities. Don't go with nationalities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a good.
That's the easiest in life. If you wouldn't say it to him when you were playing one on one with him at the park, don't say it to him just because they can't do anything to you because you're in the crowd.
Sure.
But because every once in a while you'll find a run or test.
That dude would not have, if they were playing at an open run at Frank Brown and some kid was from Uruguay, you wouldn't yell, "Hey, go back to Uruguay. This is America." Well, he made a three in his face.
I think he'd probably drop 20, 30
drop
points.
Bombs like
he would send you back to Uruguay. Yeah.
And you would love it.
He could probably, probably dribble a basket in with his feet against you.
Mm.
All right, Tuesday, when you're hearing this, we're playing.
We got to take a commercial real quick.
Okay, let's take a commercial break at 47 minutes.
Yeah. Sorry, Jack.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
47 minutes and 45 seconds, and we are back.
I don't know if saying it on the pod.
And people love it. They want to know exactly where they are.
Yeah, okay. You're just a wayfinder. Just a wayfinder.
I'm a wayfinder. My little kid and I watched Moana today.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Man, Moana's Ryan.
I like it. You don't have to tell me about Moana.
It's the best.
Yeah, he's still a kid.
That's true. He's probably watched that in the theater.
If I pulled up my His Spotify mom. Right now, it might be on my most played of 2019.
Great.
Welcome. All right. Tuesday, we play the Ole Miss Rebels. Old Misses, as they say on the bunker. LOL. Auburn won the first meeting in double OT, 83-82. Let's not do that again.
That doesn't seem like a good way to prepare for Kentucky.
It's super not sustainable to keep going to extra basketball.
Your it legs gets you are, more experience for your freshman.
It's more basketball. Your legs are going to get tired eventually. The Miss has had a three-game losing streak.
Mm,
they lost
quite a skid.
They lost by a quarter, 25 to the Crimson Tide of Alabama.
Oh, yeah, the Tide just...
In Oxford.
Demoralized them. And they that was later than our game, so they have a less of a layoff than us.
At least according to Will Wade.
Yeah, sure.
Guys, I don't have a problem with what Will Wade said. I know people are like, because it's Will Wade, everybody has a problem with it. But like, he's right. That's too short of a turnaround for college basketball. Like,
tell the Ivy League that.
Yeah, when are we
plays Friday, Saturday with bus trips.
They shouldn't do that.
When are we supposed to play?
You should play Friday, Saturday. You can play in back-to-back days. But his issue was he has a game at night and then a game at 11 a.m.
Yeah, on a Wednesday and a Saturday.
Yeah, there's like 3 days in between.
And one of them's at home.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe.
I get it. I mean, it's a short turnaround for Auburn. Like, if we put 8 on Saturday and we've got to play at 11 on... Well, we don't play 11 on
Number one, cancel 11 a.m. games. That's the best. That, if he had just said that, I'd have been like, yeah.
I don't know
what to say that, except for, you know, getting that money from ESPN pays a nice little part of a salary.
That's great, except that it stinks to play basketball at 11 o'clock in the morning. Those guys have to start warming up at 10.
Yeah.
Just now imagine if you're a Central team, like Team Central Time Zone playing in Eastern Time Zone.
Yeah. You're 9 a.m. warm-ups?
Yeah, those are actually noon games when you
that's true.
For most people other than us. And most of the SEC.
half.
There's a... Yeah.
I mean, the entire SEC West is in Central Time Zone.
Yeah. Is it not more than half? Right.
Plus Vandy. Plus... Right. I don't know about Lexington.
No.
Missouri is. So, yeah. You got at least nine teams in Central Time Zone.
Yeah. Guys. That's Ole Miss does not do anything well. They do everything okay.
The only reason we would be worried about this game is, one, we've had some issues lately, and two,
Montez Schuler.
Oh, I was going to say Kermit Davis. But hopefully we've got that monkey off our back.
Schuler went off against us last time.
Yeah, but Tyree did not.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, that was part of the Okoro effect era. Yeah. Where we could shut down the best player, and the second guy would kill us.
Yeah. Apparently Saban Lee, though, is Vandy's best player.
Well, he is now.
The other guy
turns out.
Aaron Nesmith played in that game against us.
Sure.
But he got hurt. He's no longer on the team. Well, he is, but he's just not wait until he gets Adam Silver calls his name.
Oh, yeah.
This is the second year in a row that's happened to Vandy. He had a first round draft pick not play.
Yep. Tough look from a guy Vandy.
Poor old stick.
Scouting report, they are really good at defending three pointers. So look for Auburn to hopefully attack the basket. But instead, watch Auburn start out the game jacking up threes.
I'm sure we will. We're at home, so maybe we'll make a few.
They foul a lot. That's good for Auburn.
Yeah,
we fouled Tyree out in like 15
minutes.
That's
probably how we... Yeah, that's how we got to double overtime, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He fouled out 10 minutes ago in that game.
Now, I believe we will see an Austin Wiley game just because we didn't see one against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And the law of averages makes me feel like that's going to happen.
Sure. I feel pretty safe he'll get at least 10 and 10.
Ooh, Ionescu from the University of Oregon, the women's player who might be the greatest player in college basketball right now, is playing currently, and she might get to 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists. First player in men's or women's college hoops history to do that.
Is she not a senior?
I think she's a senior. Okay.
So that would be the first triple quadruple?
Yeah.
That's a quick career.
Wow.
She's average. I think she averaged triple double or something like that. Like something crazy.
Speaking of women's basketball, our women had a couple of tough losses.
I know. It's been a tough go.
One where we led the whole game.
Yeah. Against South Carolina.
Yeah. Right?
The number one team in the country.
Yeah.
All right. So then, if we get past dadgum Ole Miss with a win, that game Saturday in Rupp becomes the, huge. That from for all of Western civilization.
It basically clinches the conference for Kentucky if they win.
Yeah,
there's no way we win.
Jesus.
I just
not looking forward to it.
Look, we haven't won there since 1988.
Yeah.
We can't shoot away from home.
Sure.
And Kentucky gets a lot of fouls called their way in row. It's not a recipe for awesomeness.
Counterpoint, Austin Wiley's better than Nick Richards.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Counterpoint, Isaac Okoro is better than Chuma Okeke.
Well, Isaac Okoro is better than anybody on Kentucky's team.
I know.
How about that?
If he plays. And look, Bill Walton once said, he'll be back. Bill Walton once said, you don't win championships by being normal.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I mean, we get up.
Jason Duffner won a PGA championship.
Question.
He's pretty normal.
Our ability to get them in foul trouble, which is what we need to do.
Well, how about Devin Cambridge just, go 8 for 9 from three?
Look, I have seen zero evidence that we were going to hit a 3-point shot in Rupp Arena on Saturday. I mean, it is. My confidence in our 3-point shooting, especially away from home, is not high. It's going to take a special effort to win this game. I'll say that. It will be incredible if we win.
Yeah.
Because then we
If Okoro comes back and puts up 15 or more, make him the number one draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then we are within one game of actually winning the conference
with a much easier remaining schedule than Kentucky has. Kentucky's got to go, I think, to Florida and to Tennessee still.
We suck at Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't see either one of those as posing much of a problem to this Kentucky team. But if you guys want to hold out hope, I'll let y'all know.
It only takes one Evansville.
That's true. That was in Lexington.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't in Evansville.
And they've turned around and they really...
They're good now. They're actually
Kentucky or Evansville? Because Evansville's god-awful.
Good Kentucky.
They fired really coach.
Good. Oh my god.
Mid-season. I think it was off-court.
Beats Kentucky, gets fired.
Wow. Yeah, it's a weird up and down.
Look, the people that probably make those decisions may have a vested interest at Kentucky, so they're probably looking for a reason, right? I don't have... This is as down as you're going to ever hear me be going into a game, because I usually barn pretty hard thinking we're going to win. It does not... What we have seen does not feel great going away anywhere, but to Rupp where we haven't won.
Perfect time to win, Chief.
Sure. Okay.
It is. When nobody expects...
Every day is the perfect time to win.
Right? Sure.
But hey, let's win this one and hope Kentucky loses and we get a share of the. Or loses too and we win out.
Well, I mean, if we tie with them, we get. Forget the SEC's rules, we win the conference.
Well, sure, but the SEC will give them a share too, right?
That's how there's only going to be one seed in the tournament.
That's true.
That's the only way you.
But that happened in. Well, Tennessee still hung up a banner a couple years ago.
You know what? Alabama hangs banners for everything.
Well, guys,
let's win.
Let's just beat both teams.
Yeah.
If you hear this podcast right now, write it down at 56 minutes and 57 minutes even, actually.
I mean, what's the key to winning? Like, what do we have to do to win?
Beat Kentucky. Maxie.
I don't think so. I don't think shutting down a certain player does anything for Auburn. Because Auburn's won a ton of games letting Mason Jones score 40. Or letting Carter score 25. The LSU point guard, Skylar May, score 30. Auburn can win if somebody goes off. Auburn just has to shoot.
Yeah.
That's
quickly.
That's
not Maxey. I said Maxey.
Quickly. They combined for 45 against us last time.
Quickly. Hagen's so good.
And neither did Richards.
So I think another game.
Also what terrifies me is these guys had terrible games against us.
And they fouled. Auburn shot 80 free throws. Yes, some nonsense. Yes.
And we're not going to shoot a bunch of free throws up there, I don't think.
I would really. I think
this team now has Jalen Williams, though.
I think that.
Does that change anything for you?
Yeah, no. Besides the free throws, the key to the game is still the same. Richards can't beat you.
Period. Yeah. I mean.
And neither can. You cannot let Quickly get to the rim. You can't let Quickly do what Lewis did for Alabama. You cannot let Quickly get to the rim and initiate the offense.
We seem
from
to be
there.
Kind of bad at stopping that.
Guys, whoever it is that's in charge of perimeter, keeping guys in front of them, is not doing it. And fast point guards,
one of them
get
a,
to the rim at will.
Bad hamstring.
No. Yeah, let's hope that's fully healed up by the time this game rolls around.
All right, well.
What if we go in there without...
57 minutes, I
Cora
said,
doesn't
to write
play.
It down. If we go in there and win both, if we go 2-0 before
yeah.
the next show,
yeah.
tune in, because this will be the happiest speaking podcast in the history of the God. World.
We'll go 2-0 and drop two spots in KenPom.
Well, I don't
doesn't
care.
Matter, baby. Conference champs.
Win, baby, win.
Just hanging them rings.
Both knows.